You are on Radio Tacoma's Climate 360.
And I'm your host, John Doherty, where we take a 360-degree look at climate here and around the world in 360 seconds or less. So let's get right to it. Gasoline-powered leaf blowers are a pestilence, a plague in our communities. They make a horrifying racket, the equivalent for the operator of a jet airplane taking off, and that's according to the website Dangerous Decibels. Worse, from an air pollution perspective, they are two-cycle engines. About one-third of the oil and gasoline goes unburned and spewed back out into the environment. That's not to mention the carbon dioxide from the other two-thirds. The gases released by leaf blowers in addition to CO2 include benzene, volatile organic compounds, ozone, and nitrogen oxides, all health hazards for workers and bystanders alike. The admitted CO2 makes a substantial contribution to CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere. The California Air Resources Board figures that using a gas-powered leaf blower for an hour emits as much as driving a Toyota Camry from Los Angeles to Denver. So why do we put up with them? Well, for starters, over 100 municipalities in the United States have restricted or prohibited them altogether. Seattle will be banning leaf blowers for city government by 2025 and for everyone else by 2027. However, the Seattle's been talking about banning leaf blowers since 2014, so this obvious change for the better doesn't come easy. So, what are the objections? Well, they're the same old ones. The ones that show up every time we talk about having a cleaner environment and managing greenhouse gas emissions. Most gas-powered leaf blowers are operated by businesses. Businesses, like everyone else, pretty much prefer to just keep doing what they're doing so long as it's profitable. So they lobby hard and fast against any effort to restrict or ban gas-powered leaf blowers as well as other two-cycle engine garden tools. Their chief complaint is that it will cost them money to transition to electrically powered equipment. So it's the same old story. It's cheaper to pollute than to not pollute. Because arguing that in public isn't a popular thing to do, the leaf blower industry likes to claim that the electric leaf blowers can't cut the mustard, that the batteries don't last long enough, that they're not powerful enough, etc., etc. Well, a tank of gasoline doesn't last forever either. So there are ways of recharging batteries or carrying spare batteries. And as to power, I'll quote Nancy Sainberg, who owns a landscaping company. Quoting here, "The electric leaf blowers are just as powerful as gas blowers. You can charge them overnight and just go for it. My crew doesn't get sick like they used to. They don't get respiratory issues like they used to. They love it. These blowers don't make the big stupid noise of the gas ones. It's more like a vacuum cleaner noise. I think they're great." So, how much longer are we going to put up with the pestilence of leaf blowers in our communities? Are you listening, city and county council?
Quote for today.
This from Dr. James Hansen, who is currently directing the Program on Climate Science Awareness and Solutions at Columbia University. He's also the former director of the NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies. Here's the quote. "The 1.5 degree limit is deader than a doornail," end quote. Dr. Hansen is referring to the oft-quoted goal of limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. And the evidence at this point is that we'll pass that marker sometime this decade. He went on to say that a 2-degree goal could still be met, but only with concerted action to stop using fossil fuels and at a pace far quicker than current plans. Hansen calls for a global price on carbon, using more nuclear energy, and accelerating the deployment of renewable energy. And yes, that is likely the best path forward, as far-fetched as it seems, given the current state of world politics and human inertia. So, I'll quote Nelson Mandela, "It always seems impossible until it's done."
What are we reading?
We are reading Andrew Boyd's "I Want a Better Catastrophe: Navigating the Climate Crisis with Grief, Hope, and Gallows Humor." Boyd starts from the perspective that the science is clear that if we exceed 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming since pre-industrial times, that things are going to be bad. And he also avers, and almost certainly correctly, that there is zero chance that we are not going to exceed that boundary. Taking efforts to mitigate and adapt to a changing climate, an ever-warmer planet, with all that that implies, however, is not a binary choice, a simple matter of we succeed or we fail. So his somewhat tongue-in-cheek title is his call to let's get real. Lots of bad things in our environmental future are baked in at this point. But every time we're successful, even in some small way, in addressing the damage we're doing to our environment is worthwhile. Boyd writes from the facts and with a tone of self-deprecation and sardonic humor. Really, it's time for climate-aware folks to not only continue to work for a mitigated future, but also to know that unavoidable difficulties lie ahead and to get ready for dealing with them. Put together, this book is an antidote to despair and a comfort to those dealing with environmental grief. And finally this, carbon dioxide content of the atmosphere in September of 2022, just 1 year ago, was 419 parts per million. September this year, 422 parts per million. Not only do we continue to add carbon dioxide to the atmosphere, the worldwide rate at which we're adding it is increasing. And that's your Climate 360.